with the Business Bunker.
Oh, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, the 27th of January, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin, who's gone walkabout. I don't know where she's gone. Where's she gone? I don't know where she's gone. Anyway, we've got a brand new set of guests joined us in the studio, and we're going to be talking to them shortly. Oh, here she is, wandering back in. Have you gone for a refuel? Got a few more bags of snacks?
Yeah, a few more snacks.
A few more bags of snacks, I reckon. We're going to be talking to new guests in our new series of RCX. Have you quite finished dragging your chair about?
I can't get wheels on it. Casters, that's what I need.
Yeah, okay. In our new series, which is RC Expert Slot, which we're going to have every week, and that's going to be graciously provided on an ongoing basis by the lovely folks from RIFT and the folks from the Federation of Small Business and the folks from the University of Kent School of Business and Mr. Ken Heron, who's a business radio show presenter in the United States. And they're going to share the RC Expert session over the coming weeks and months.
Ken does a sort of slicker version of us.
He does a proper version of real radio.
Slicker version.
Is that what you were trying to say?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Possibly.
Good. I'll tell you what, read an email.
Please. certainly. you've been listening to too much King Canute.
Have I?
Yes.
Stop the waves.
This is Rising Stars. You can find out about this on the website kentinvictorchamber.co.uk. They say develop your network as you grow your career. And this includes a full English. It's 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Members are £15. Non-members are £20 plus VAT. It's Thursday the 5th of February at the Clarendon Royal in Gravesend. Rising Stars is aimed at non-business owners and directors in the professions such as accountants, bankers, financial advisors, insolvency practitioners, solicitors, surveyors. And the forum aims to help those destined for future leadership roles to develop their management and interpersonal skills. So that is Thursday the 5th of February at the Clarendon Royal in Gravesend.
Thank you. I'm just trying to catch up with the Twitter feed.
We've got bananas.
We've got 470 tweets. So yeah. I'm not going to read all of those out. But
they've all woken up from Christmas, you see.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah, they've all come back from their skiing holidays.
Ah, that'll be what it is. Spitfire Networking on Thursday the 5th of February. 2 hours of casual networking with like-minded local professionals. Lunch is included, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Booking is essential as places are limited. And that's at the Kings Hill Golf Club, Fortune Way, Kings Hill. It's only £5. And that includes the cost of lunch, which can't be bad. And if you want a book, you can talk to the folks at Core Financial Services, who are the people organising it, and their email address is info@coreifa.co.uk, or you can call them on 0844 875 5777, 0844 875 5777, info@coreifa.co.uk, if you want to go to the Spitfire Networking Lunch on the 5th of February.
And I'd like to announce that Lisa Marie has already won the Mystery Word competition.
She won it before you started the competition.
She said yes, yay. She said yay. Mystery Word is back. Is it knitting?
No, girl. It's crochet.
No, she's won.
Right, well, you can read another email for me.
Half of small business firms lack access to super fast broadband. This is something we're always ranting about. It's this is posted by Sarah Douglas on the 23rd of December. She says around half, 44% of small and medium sized firms in the UK do not have access to super fast broadband, compared to 25% of the general population. And this is according to figures released by Ofcom. And in urban areas, around a third, 33%, of small and medium SME firms lacked access, compared to 17% of the urban population as a whole. The findings were published in Ofcom's 2014 infrastructure report, which also reveals that broadband users as a whole were downloading 77% more data, depending on if you're in...
Mostly porn.
Florida. Speak for yourself. Mm. In 2014, mine's all Spotify, my data, than in 2013. Ofcom, you've got one of your, you're going to heckle me faces.
No, I'm listening enrapt.
Ofcom has developed an interactive mapping tool to help consumers and business owners to check digital coverage in their local area. And further research is available, and choice and quality of communication services for small firms is due to be published by Ofcom in spring of 2015. That is very useful, actually, because there is a problem with it, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Still, I mean, you in your house have problems, don't you?
With my broadband, my broadband.
You have
runs
to hang
at
out
0.8.
The window and...
Mine runs at 0.8. It's ridiculous. Mm. Yeah, it'd be quicker if I got in the car and drove over there.
I just had to get another new hub from BT. I'm on my third new hub in three years.
I've got a Draytech hub. I've got a really brilliant hub. I just got a really rubbish broadband.
Perhaps I should get that. You keep telling me to get a Draytech.
Yeah, I do. I've had a tweet from another new listener, Home Instead. And on the Twitter, they're homeinstead_TW. And they say, Vanillaware, please could you shout out for the West Kent Dementia Action Alliance? There's a launch on the 25th of February at Centre Plus at King's Hill. And then they say, details are at. And they've given me a shortened link,
which I
can't follow. So I will find out where the details are, in fact, at. And I will put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website on our new, improved, lovely, wonderful, new, supersonic Kent Business Radio website.
With the emu on. One with the emu.
With emu.
Yeah, I love that emu.
You can punch her. You can punch her. Yeah. It's a flamingo.
Oh, much nicer.
Yeah.
Pink, because they eat prawns. Crustaceans.
What, emus?
Yeah. And
emus eat prawns? Really? Where do they find
You're
them?
You're twisting my words, Paul
Am
Andrews.
I?
Yes.
Ah.
Again.
Ah. Funnily enough, I don't know why, but Jamie of New Potato Slang, Jamie and I had a conversation about roasting emus last week for some bizarre reason. I'm not entirely sure why either.
Well, with your potatoes.
Something like
lovely,
that. But anyway, can I finish telling you about the West Kent Dementia Action Alliance?
You must.
Who are launching on the 25th of February at Centre Plus in Kings Hill, and I will put a link to their link on the Kent Business Radio website. But the easiest way to find out about it is to follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Home Instead. That's Home Instead _TW. So do give them a follow on the Twitter and see what they are up to with the West Kent Dementia Action Alliance.
And you know, the charming Rupert Connolly is listening in, and he says, he says to me, with no mention of you, we moved from Hong Kong to Somerset, he says, Jules.
As you do.
The slowest connection we could get in Hong Kong was 100 megabits. Mm. Now the best we get is 3 megabits.
Yeah, wet string and 2 tin cans. I know. I had a conversation with BT a couple of weeks ago about this, and they stood there and tried to tell me that BT are at the leading edge of broadband. And when I finished laughing, I just had to leave. They don't get it.
I know.
Go Vicinity, lovely Rob Parker's tweeted.
He's had a baby.
Has he?
Yeah.
Did the papers know?
Yeah. He has. He's had a little girl, a Jessica, I believe.
I hope it was his wife that had the baby.
Together they made it, didn't they? Together.
Well, you'll have to explain that to
you
me later.
You must know about biology, surely, at your age.
So anyway, Rob has tweeted in to say that, talking about Bleen at Londis.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or Londis Bleen.
Yeah.
What is it? Bleen Londis.
Bleen Londis.
He said, those guys at Bleen Londis are fantastic, always smiling and extremely helpful.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that, Rob. And congratulations on the birth of your daughter.
Jessica.
Congratulations.
Right.
Yeah. She's going to be Jessica Parker then.
Yeah, Rob Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Famous
already. She's only just been born. How about that?
Well, exactly.
Mm. The Acorn Hub. Talking about SEIS, which we were talking about with Andrew Weaver just before the break there.
I have a soft spot for Andrew Weaver.
He's lovely, isn't he? Mm. The Acorn Hub have tweeted, re-SEIS funding. What advice clause would you give a young startup team when developing an app to protect their IP? Well, unfortunately, Andrew has now left the studio, so he can't really answer that. But I tell you what, we've got two accountants in here that may well be able to help.
They've got their little accountant.
One accountant, one accountant and a very nice-looking person.
They've got their little accountants' bags with them.
Yeah. So when we get round to talking to the lovely folks from Rift, we will kind of see if we can entice them into talking a little bit about SEIS.
When will you be talking to them? Just so I know the schedule.
Shortly.
Do we play a song first?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just so I know. I want to know if I can have a biscuit or, you know.
I know what you were after. I could see you bouncing around thinking, I haven't eaten anything for at least 30 nanoseconds, and when can I eat something? So let me just understand what their question was again. Re-SEIS, that's Small Enterprise Investment Funding. What advice would you give a young startup team who are developing an app to protect their IP. They're kind of two completely different questions in that, Alan, but we will try and answer that between us. Read an email while I see about the rest of these tweets.
Yes, it's a pleasure to. Thank you, and please. The Grown Up Business Seminar. This is, you can find out details. I'll give you the website, www.eventbrite.co.uk/the-grown-up-business-seminar. This is Coach SME, and she says, building a grown-up successful business can be tricky, but the rewards are huge if you get it right. It's a series of seminars, and it's designed to help you make permanent improvements in your business. And the events are educational and entertaining, as well as being a great place to network with like-minded business people. And following the success of the grown-up seminar, they've arranged a second great lineup of speakers. So they've got this event, which is focusing on sales and marketing. And they're based on the TED principles, TED, principles of information worth sharing. And there'll be a Q&A and speakers, presenters. One of the speakers is, of course, Snake Hips himself, Paul Andrews, who's the CEO of jobsinkent.com and host of the Business Bunker radio show. He's also an angel investor with some forthright views with a built-in passion
Me?
For business.
Forthright? Never.
Paul's presentation is titled Come the Revolution. See more King Canute. Steve Jessop.
No, this is more not King Canute at all.
What is it like?
It's more Che Guevara.
Arthur
really.
Daly?
No, it's more Che Guevara.
With that trilby on this morning, it was definitely Arthur Daly.
Yeah.
Steve Jessop.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him?
I don't. I
you
haven't met
do.
Steve. I'm looking forward to meeting
you
him, but
do.
I don't know him. No.
What is the actual date of this? It doesn't say on this press release.
Does it not?
There's the website I read out, but I just thought you might know when you were going.
Sometime in February.
Steve Jessop, he's worked with Virgin, MTV and Otis. What's Otis?
It's a lift company.
See, I only know Reading. To name a few, propelling their sales function to achieve remarkable success. And he's going to be saying about what is sales improvement and how do you do it. And of course, the fabulous Shirley Mansfield, who's the author of Grown Up Business Book. And she's a master problem solver and high growth business coach.
She is indeed.
And she'll be talking about effective marketing on a shoestring. So again, that website, well, it's all on the Kent Business Radio website. Go to that.co.uk and find out about the Grown Up Business Seminar.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Looking forward to that. That's going to be quite good. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I think we're going to have our Ask the Expert session now.
Okay. Oh, very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Are we doing the James Bond theme?
No. How many times? Sing it. Sing
well,
it,
well, our guest knew it.
Yeah.
And I've gone a bit blank.
Yeah, no, well, I don't know what
I
all this is about.
I might start doing Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a lot of them.
I told Jules that we were going to do this new section of the programme, and a couple of days ago she sent me a piece of music and said, play this then. And it was just a theme tune to James Bond.
Yeah.
Why?
Fabulous. It's a little segue. Dun 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 dun.
Right, so now we've done it. Thank you. Thank
and then
you
on
for
he
that,
comes,
Jules.
Then you can introduce him.
Ah, right,
it's
okay.
A build-up.
But then he'd need a helicopter and all that, wouldn't he, really?
He's got one, did you see?
Yeah.
Next to the alpacas.
Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show our resident experts from the RIFT Group, Jane Hollis, who's Managing Director of RIFT Accounting, and Mr. Christopher Gaze, who's a Senior Accountant and a man that knows everything. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show, guys. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on here. We're going to be discussing for the next few moments VAT MOS and what that's all about. We've also thrown you a curveball because we've got a question here about SEIS, and I'm happy to stick my tuppence worth in as well because I have used SEIS a few times myself. And maybe just a very brief overview of what it is, because I'm not entirely sure what Alan's question was on that. But let's stick to the script for the moment. VAT MOS. Kick us off by those of us that aren't, either don't know about it. I was going to say aren't affected, but there's an awful lot of people that are affected that don't know about it. Just give us an overview of what it is and how on earth we got landed with it.
Well, what's happened since the start of this year, since the 1st of January, the laws regarding place of supply for VAT for supplies of digital services to the EU changed. The way it used to work was you would charge VAT on the UK rates if you were selling to a individual in a European country.
Yeah.
If you're selling to a business, it's a business-to-business transaction and there's a reverse charge method, so it doesn't affect it.
Yeah.
But what's happened since 1st of January is they've switched it around, so the VAT is now applied based on where the customer is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a bit of a nightmare if you've got customers all over Europe and there's two options that you have. One is that you register for VAT in each of those countries that you're selling to, which, as I can probably appreciate, it's going to be a complete logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Not just to record the VAT, but learn how all those VAT.
Because all of them
work.
Are different as well.
Absolutely.
Aren't they? Yeah, there are different criteria in each European country. Some things have VAT on them, some things don't, and
that's
they're
right,
different by country.
Yeah.
And they also have different rates as well.
Yeah, they have different rates, different reporting periods, and if you have refunds, getting it back from European countries is not straightforward. So that's what's changed. The VAT MOS is actually the vehicle to try and make this a lot simpler. So rather than register for VAT in each of those countries, you register in the UK for VAT under a MOS scheme, which stands for Mini One-Stop Shop.
Yeah.
And therefore, you return one return, and on that return, there's a line for each European country you've sold to, and you put your total sales in, and it works out the VAT on the appropriate rate, and you pay that over to HMRC in the UK, and they redistribute it to the appropriate countries.
Cool. Can I ask you some questions at that point? Because there'll be people out there going, what? Okay. How does that work?
It's quite important to say at the outset that this only applies to digital services.
Yeah.
And clarifying what a digital service is, I don't know if that was going to be your question, is quite an important factor, isn't it?
Well, there's... it's hard to know to even know where to begin with this. It's such a dog's breakfast. Let me tell you the question I was going to ask or put to you first, and then we'll explore some of those other issues maybe. The first thing is that a lot of people said to me right up front, it doesn't matter, I don't qualify for VAT.
That doesn't matter.
That doesn't count anymore, does it?
If you make one sale to a European country, you had to apply for VAT MOS.
Absolutely. And to use VAT MOS, which is the system that sorts out all the logistics of doing this, means you have to register for VAT in the UK.
You do, but you don't have to register for sales on your UK sales.
Okay, that's interesting to know.
So you can still be registered in the UK, you'll get a UK VAT number, but you'll only report your European activity.
Okay,
as long as you're below the 81,000 VAT threshold, you don't have to record your UK sales.
Okay,
they'll be treated as exempt sales.
Okay, now that's important because a lot of people were really concerned about that because they are below the 81,000. I mean, most of the people affected by this are people that do ad hoc stuff from home. That is why it's just such a ridiculous rule because it's just affected so many people. I know for a fact that 23,000 businesses have closed because they just won't do it. It's just not worth their while. And I've got a message here from someone in South Africa, funnily enough, who just said, just had my first sale to the UK since the introduction of the new VAT rules. And because the rate of VAT in the UK is 20%, that means that my transaction cost has an additional 0.48p on it. Okay. This is the only sale I've had in the UK in 3 months. Okay. And will be in 3 months. My bank in South Africa have charged me a minimum fee of transferring the rate from South African rand into pound of 48p. So in actual fact, to make a sale in the UK for £1.58, it cost her £7. So she just said, I'm not going to do business anymore.
That's crazy.
I'm just, you know. And so, yeah, well, that's what's happened.
Who is this from South Africa?
It's some lady with a business in South Africa.
Wow.
So many businesses that have been affected by this aren't really businesses at all. They're micro sales operations that are just doing ad hoc stuff.
Yeah, part of the problem is there's no opening threshold.
Yeah.
So anyone, you make one sale, then you're going to be included. And if that means you end up making a loss from that transaction, then that's going to make you...
Absolutely. Okay, so, but what you've just said, Chris, is really interesting because a lot of people were confused by this. If you're below the £81,000 threshold for VAT in the United Kingdom, it appeared that you had to then register for VAT in order to make use of VAT MOS. You're saying you do have to register, but you don't have to do the VAT stuff in the UK.
No, that's right.
Okay.
You don't. What you also consider is... you will still have to do UK VAT returns,
yeah.
But assuming you don't go above the threshold, that would just be a nil return.
Right, okay.
There is potential to recover some VAT on the inputs that relate to your EC sales. So if you can identify that 50% of your sales are in the EC, 50% are in the UK, then you can reclaim 50% of your inputs.
Okay.
So there is some VAT that can be recovered.
I realise some of the questions I'm going to be asking you here are almost unanswerable, and I do realise that before I answer them, and we'll make the best fist of of this. But you know, it's thrown up so many what ifs. I mean, I had one myself which I thought I was really smart with, because I actually emailed it to HMRC, and I said, I'm a Frenchman married to a Spanish lady, and we're on holiday in the UK, and we're part of the way through the Channel Tunnel on our way home, and I've decided to download a piece of software. Where should I pay the VAT, please? The fact is there, I mean, apart from using VAT MOS, which is the system that HMRC in the UK have implemented to help us try to alleviate some of this, we don't actually have any real way of telling where the customer actually lives.
No, and that's part of the problem. Part of the requirements are you have to keep two pieces of evidence as to where the customer resides. They've relaxed some of the laws for the first 6 months, so you only need one, and that can be provided by your payment provider. So if you use PayPal or something like that, that's quite an effective way of determining where your customer is based.
At the time he purchased the thing.
Yeah, but that...
As long as he didn't move. Yeah.
Depending on what sort of device you're using. If you're in an internet cafe in France and you're an Italian person, you'll still put it at VAT rate for France. Not because you're from Italy. That doesn't matter. It's where you download that product.
Where you purchased it at the time you purchased it.
But I don't know how the payment providers work, whether because it's an Italian PayPal account, whether it will show as being
exactly Italy. It would show you as being Italian.
These things are the logistical nightmares.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is the main problem. The fact you've got to pay over some VAT.
It's neither here nor there.
Not really, because you would have been paying over VAT at the UK rate before. So it's the admin burden that's the problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's where the EU have got this dreadfully wrong and have shown themselves up to be completely incompetent, is because their argument was about fairness of payment. And I've not heard a single person moan about the actual payment. It's purely the logistical nightmare and the administrative nightmare of trying to work out something that even the tax authorities can't work out. And the next question I was going to ask you, which is even more horrible, and you can tell me just to shut up, is do you, Chris, know what actually constitutes a digital download? Because there has been a lot of myths and some misinformation, and also some lacking information. And let me try and put some things around that. One of the early things that came out of this was, if you're selling consultancy alongside what you're doing, then it doesn't apply. Okay.
If there's human interaction, that's a general indicator that it's not a digital service that's electronically supplied. That's part of the definition, being electronically supplied.
Yeah.
So you could have a training course, for example, and if you just downloaded the material and you read it and that was it, then that would be electronically digital supplied service. If you had the same service, but then there was the extra facility to speak to a tutor live online, that then stops being electronically supplied digital service, and then it's outside of the scope.
Absolutely, and that's where some of the confusion has come in, because people thought that by adding a consultancy element to their downloadable stuff, they were avoiding this. What they've then tried to do is to digitise the consultancy side of it, so they've downloaded it as a question and answer video. But that's just a digital download.
Yeah, if it's a video, it's got to be live.
You must be physically in person at the time, that's live, right, talking to them either via Skype or a video camera, or physically in the room with them.
Yeah, by putting a Q&A video on there, you're just supplying another download.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Do you also have... I thought this one up myself as well. this applies when you're selling a digital download. If you give away the digital download as part of another service, what happens then?
Oh, that is a good question. And that's a little bit unfair.
Sorry about that.
snowing.
I would say there's no charge to it, so yeah. You wouldn't have to include.
Yeah,
it.
That's what I thought. But yeah. You never
he's
know.
Good,
he's
good, boy, isn't he?
He is. Yeah,
he's good. Accountant.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to think of one that will get him in a minute. Don't you worry. These are all things that people. There's a group running of people that are. You can't even call them micro businesses. They're people that occasionally sell stuff. Yeah, just once in a blue moon, you know.
Such like, as what sort of stuff?
Well, like knitting patterns or...
knitting again? Keep trying.
Exactly. So there's a theme in the programme.
Yeah.
Yeah. But quite a few of them are actually doing things like selling knitting patterns and or dressmaking patterns or pieces of music that they've just recorded and stuff like that. They're real... They're not businesses even. They're just people doing stuff and making a few quid.
Creatives.
Yeah, but making a 50p or a
pin
pound
money.
Here. Making 50p or a pound here and there.
Pin
just
money.
Making 50p or a pound here or there. There's no pins involved in this at all.
My mum used to call it pin money.
I know. I'm just ignoring
you.
And
you're of an age.
I'm just ignoring you.
The other problem with this is if you upload something to your website and it's available to download, you have no control over where people download that from. Because you may not actively want to sell your products in Europe rather than just the UK, but if you put it on your website, you've got no control over who goes on and
absolutely
and downloads
exactly,
that.
Yeah. And just for that, funnily enough, there's a big Facebook group about this. In the United States, an awful lot of companies have actually banned EU sales. They just said, we're just not going to sell to Europe. It's as simple as that. We can't be bothered. We can't be bothered to go through this process. And there's a huge group that was started that says, just don't trade with Europe. Anybody,
really?
Yeah, anybody with a European IP address just can't buy anything.
That's very stunning.
You know, it's really worrying because they're pretty good at thinking up bad legislation, but it's the worst piece of legislation I've ever seen in my life. It is just so badly thought through. And as Chris told us earlier, even HMRC, because this came into force on the 1st of January, even HMRC have gone, oh, well, you can have 6 months to sort it out. What they mean is give us 6 months so we know what we're talking about. Sorry. Because we could fine you and be wrong ourselves because we don't know either.
I mean, Chris, with you guys at Rift, when something like this comes in, how much work and training do you get on a subject like this?
Well, it's up to us to go and find out how the legislation has changed and how we can service people who need that service. We haven't seen it yet because it's so new, so we haven't had anyone come to us and say, can you help us with a MOS? But we have to be there ready. Yeah. If someone does, we know what we're talking about. So we have to, we've got to be right up to date with the changes in legislation all the time.
Well done. Mm.
One of the other things that has happened, and somebody's just Facebooked me about this, when we were talking about registration for UK VAT, they've just been talking to Bandcamp. I don't know if you're familiar with Bandcamp. It's a music platform where you can sell digital downloads of your own music. Bandcamp are one of the few people that have agreed to handle this straight away. So they said, if you're a Bandcamp member, we'll sort that out for you. Don't worry about it. We'll handle the billing of that and we'll handle where we deliver it. But they just asked them the question that said, I only sell one download in Europe. Most of my downloads are sold in the UK and they're not VATable, and they said they are now.
Well, the ones in the UK aren't VATable. Even though he started in Europe and he will have to register for VAT, his UK sales still won't be subject to VAT.
Yeah, but Bandcamp are an American platform and they've just included the UK and the rest of Europe and said, no, well, you've got to go through it. Even if you only sell in your own internal market, you are in the EU and therefore you have to comply with it.
Yeah,
absolutely. So
it's worth saying that generally if you sell through these platforms such as Amazon,
Etsy,
iTunes or whatever, if you only sell through that, then they will deal with the VAT for you. You don't have to worry about it.
Absolutely, yeah. And that is a very valid point to make. That I think there was one of them that up front said, no, we're not doing that, and then very quickly backtracked when they realised how many customers they were going to lose. I can't remember which of them it was. But everyone I've seen from Amazon, iTunes, Etsy, and all the big players, Bootcamp, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, have all now said, no, we have systems in place to handle it now.
And these are the people that the legislation is aimed at, because they all had their registrations in Luxembourg.
In Luxembourg,
so they could pay at a very low VAT rate. That's why the legislation's changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't normally do political stuff on here or stuff like that, but sometimes I just wish people would think about what they complain about and the ramifications of what they complain about, because eventually it comes home to roost. We all have to end up paying for it, basically. Yeah, go on, Jen.
I'd just like to add that VAT Moss, whether we like it, is here, and it's important to find a solution for your business. Yeah. And if you're concerned about it, talk to your accountant and get them to help you work your way through it, because now's a great time to be out there growing your business. And despite of this little barrier, and no doubt many more that will come on your business journey, find ways through them. Rift Accounting, talk to us. We'll always help you give some answers and make sure that there is a way forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Jane. I mean, they're not going to take it away. They might modify it a little bit or put it back a little bit, but it's going to happen, and it has happened. It is in force, and you are supposed to be doing it right now. There are systems out there that are becoming available to help you, and I'm sure, and maybe I don't know if you can answer this, Jane, even I know that you guys in Rift Accounting are great users of ClearBooks and things like that. I guess some of the accounting software providers will be looking at this kind of thing, as well as add-on modules.
Absolutely. Some have add-on modules now. ClearBooks, who we use, are currently developing theirs, but that's still not a barrier for us.
Yeah.
If you think that you need to register for VAT Moss, get in contact with us, and we'll make sure that we can get everything in order for you.
Fantastic.
So don't see it as a business hurdle. Just see it as one of those everyday things that happens when you're out there running your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking to the lovely folks from HMRC. I'm not going to do this one because it really is not relevant to us, but there's a couple of people that are not very happy in Ireland as well, because the Irish have done a double whammy on them in some way. I didn't even really understand it a great deal, but there you go.
Maybe we can mention it next week when you've looked at it in detail.
No, well, it's not anything that's going to... It was for Irish companies rather than people selling into Ireland, so it's not a particular issue for people selling into Ireland. It was something to do with the way that you register for VAT as a provider in Ireland and the fact that they think they've been double done, but I don't know.
Well, you've said it now.
Yeah. But I don't understand the ins and outs, because I don't know Irish VAT law, surprisingly.
What about you?
No, we're
do you not, Chris? Come on.
I don't know all the VAT laws for all the different countries.
That's the first thing you haven't known, so well done.
Yeah, well, I told you I'd find something. Yeah. Nigerian VAT. There you go. Oh, it's not in Europe. Ah.
Cool. Absolutely.
As Jane said, look, if you're out there, you've got a business, you're in the digital download business in any way, shape or form, and you want some help on this, then get in contact with the good folks at Rift. They're more than happy to help you think about this, tell you what you need to do, point you at the right places for resources and all those kind of things. And you can get hold of Rift by going to their website, which is riftaccounting.com.
Thank you.
I know it off the top of my head. I've been typing it all week on things.
And comparing your emus.
And I need to admit this. After typing Rift Accounting 5,983 times this week on various things, redoing my website, somebody, when I put the website live last night, the first thing I got was somebody sent me a message, went, Raft Accounting. And I put Jane as MD of Raft Accounting on the homepage.
Yeah, because you were tired.
It was one of those autocorrect things.
I hate those.
So Rift Accounting. Do go to the website. It's all over the Business Bunker website. You can click on anywhere on Business Bunker website and you'll end up at Rift Accounting. Do go there. Speak to the folks there. They are really brilliant at helping you with things like that. And they are a fabulous resource, and they will certainly point you in all the right directions for looking at. I just want to throw this at you, chaps.
Oh, dear.
Because I know you'd like stuff like this. But we had Andrew Weaver on shortly before you, who runs a legal comparison site called Lawyer Fair, and he was talking about the process he went through of establishing his business. And one of the things he did was he went out to raise finance from equity investors. And one of the pieces of advice that he gave our listener was about SEIS, if you're familiar with that scheme, which is the Small Enterprise Investment Scheme. It was a new scheme recently launched in the last couple of years by HMRC. There was a bigger scheme called EIS that applied to bigger companies, but SEIS was primarily aimed at investors in smaller businesses. And he made the point that it was really worth looking at the tax year when you go out to raise finance, because of a lot of investors will be looking for SEIS schemes and they won't be doing it until we're fast approaching April. So that's just a logistical thing to bear in mind, because these things work in tax years. But without putting you too much on the spot, could you just give us a little overview of SEIS in terms of how you see it?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a relief for investors that if they've got a capital gain that's arisen, if they reinvest it in a SEIS scheme in a small company, then they can get CGT relief in that year. They can also get some tax relief as well at the point of making the investment rather than wait until you make a gain.
Sure.
It's generally for companies that have got 25 or less employees, and they can only take up to 30% of the of the equity in the company. So you're not giving away a controlling share in your company, but it can provide you with a good
absolutely boost. Alan from Acorn Hub asked a question, and I'm not entirely sure that I understood where he was coming from with the question, because he kind of framed it in a way that kind of threw me a little bit.
Something about IP.
Yeah, because he was talking about intellectual property, which is a completely different issue altogether. So to re-emphasise what Chris and Jane were saying, SEIS is a scheme that you have to register for. As a startup company, you have to get SEIS approval from HMRC. You become a registered vehicle, and you have to do that early in the process. I'm telling you this based on my experience. I've had a few SEIS schemes. Basically, As a startup business, and this is what applies to you, Alan, in Acorn Hub and your small businesses that are starting up, if they are going to want to take in outside equity investors that are going to have 30% or less of the equity in your business, you have to become qualified for SEIS with HMRC. Your accountants, and the good people at RIF will help you with this, your accountants need to go to HMRC and get approved. They need the scheme approved, and then HMRC issue an SEIS certificate. Your investors then receive that certificate, and as Chris highlighted, that entitles them to certain tax advantages. One, that should the business go bust, I think this is off the top of my head, and I wouldn't expect you to know either. I think you get, if the business goes bust, I think you can claim up to 80% of your investment back, something like that.
I don't know.
50%. I knew there was a 50% and an 80%, and I couldn't remember which way round it was, but it's 50% if the business goes bust. Or you can do like me, you can invest in a business, it can go bust, and then you can remember that you didn't do the SEIS bit first, and then lose all your money, which is really good. And I believe there are tax reliefs available should the business succeed as well. So, again, it's one of those things you really need to talk to an accountant about. And you need to talk to an accountant about it whether you're on the buyer or seller side, if you see what I mean. So if you're a small company starting up, and this is Alan's point from Acorn Hub, he's got lots of small businesses over there in West Kent that are looking to start businesses. If they're going to look for investment from outside investors, you need your accountant to speak to HMRC and get the scheme registered as an SEIS scheme. That makes you far more attractive to investors, because it minimises the risk for them and it gives them certain tax advantages. If you're an investor, then you should really know about SEIS already, and I'm sure you do. But again, if you don't, if you're just coming into the investment world for the first time, talk to an accountant, find out the different schemes, because there are other schemes depending on what you're investing in as well. There is still an EIS scheme as well, I think, for larger scale businesses and larger scale things.
I think the other thing to say, if you're looking to raise some investment in your business, you've got a number of really nice options open to you at the moment as well, particularly with the growth of crowdfunding and a platform like Crowdcube, which is an equity investment crowdfunding platform, is a really good way of raising funds that you need if you're confident you've got a good business plan with some forecasts that you've got some assumptions built into. Seen lots of successes in that.
Absolutely. And in fact, a Kent business holds the current record for the biggest number of the biggest amount raised in crowdfunding, didn't it? It was just over £3 million, which was the good folks at Chapel Down Wine.
Yeah.
And they raised that in a week.
Very quick time if you've got everything in order to get the money in your bank and to start doing what you want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Give us, Jane, just tell us a little bit about Rift Accounting so that our listeners know about you. I know you've been on the show a couple of times before and they've probably come across you, but it's worth emphasising this because I think I told you a few weeks ago when you were on before the show, I tweeted I was coming to meet with you, and I tweeted I'm coming to meet the lovely folks at Rift Accounting, and somebody genuinely tweeted me back and they went, "Don't be ridiculous. Nobody looks forward to meeting their accountants." and it stung me at first because I thought they were just joking. But when I realised they actually meant it.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, why? Why do you feel like that? I've always used my accountants as consultants, as mentors, as sounding boards. I ask my accountants all kinds of daft things. And they're a mine of information. And if they don't know, they go away and find out and tell me." And why, you know, it was... They made it sound like it was a trip to the headmaster's office, you know, to be told off for keeping their books wrong. But I think a lot of businesses don't realise the value of good accountancy advice and good numbers advice. And I know you guys build yourselves as the business bodyguards.
Business bodyguards.
Which is a fantastic way of putting what it is you do. And I think, you know, that exemplifies what I mean by using an accountant in that way. But tell us a little bit about Rift so that our people know about it.
What we want to do is help you achieve whatever you want to do in your business and be that first port of call. A lot of people, as you say, feel that they only deal with their accountant once a year when they need to get their figures in. But because we use ClearBooks, we use an online platform, we'll be looking at your figures every month, and we always want to have a conversation about things going as you want. So we'll set out what do you want to achieve this year, and then we'll make sure we'll be there along that journey. And we do all the bits that you would expect any accountant to do, filing your accounts at the end of the year and all that basic stuff. But it's more about what do you want to do in your business, and can we help you achieve that? And the answer is always going to be yes, and we'll always be there for you. A very friendly, welcoming company.
Absolutely.
It's a great place. I've been there 2 months
More than that, it's a very funky company as well, aren't you? Yeah. I mean, you're not your normal
it
dull, boring...
different approach.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not your normal dull, boring 400-year-old accountancy firm either. I mean, we've got flamencos and all kinds going
absolutely.
On here.
Absolutely, and that's a great tribute to Jan Post, who's the founder and owner of Rift, to set out a new vision for how, you know, what accountants look like. And so if you're not happy with the way that you communicate with your accountant or the support you get, there are some great accountants up there, then have a look around and make sure that your accountant is your best and most trusted business advisor and friend. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And has the knowledge to help you achieve what you want to do, whatever that is in your business.
Cool. Absolutely. Sorry, I was listening to what you're saying, but I'm reading some tweets, and we've got some tweets coming in saying, Rupert Connolly says, "Thanks for clarifying the consultancy issue, Chris."
Yeah.
That was really confusing me, so that's really helped people. Absolutely. If you want to find out anything about the services provided by Rift and Rift Group, and you do lots of other things, not just accounting, do you, with tax refunds and all kinds of things, and there's all kinds of things that you need to know about, you know, I gave HMRC a hard time earlier because they deserve it.
Yeah.
But there's also some really good schemes that HMRC offer, and it's really worth finding out about them.
At Rift, we make over 1,800 calls to HMRC every week.
Yeah.
We know HMRC, and if there's something you're worried about, we can always, you know, take that question on and make sure we get the right answer for you.
Absolutely.
So don't be worried. There's no such thing as a silly question. Absolutely not.
Absolutely. And you know, just to kind of balance things out here, I nearly said balance the books, but I'm not going to say that to an accountant.
I'm not an accountant.
Yeah.
To
be fair to HMRC, they have loads of business help schemes as well, you know, and there are lots of things that you can be done that businesses don't know about, you know, things like SEIS and R&D tax credits and all kinds of schemes and things and ways of helping. And there are different types of VAT, you know, I have an investment in a business that has a flat rate VAT scheme, for instance, and those kind of things can be very beneficial and very helpful. So there's loads of different things that you need to know about, and that's why my view on accounting accounting services is it isn't just about doing numbers, and it isn't just about, you know, doing the books. There's a whole heap of consultancy and specialist services and information and resources that you can be pointed at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Riftaccounting.com. Do check them out.
Go and see them. Mm.
And follow them on the Twitter. They're all over the Twitter as well. Yeah. Give them a follow. Rift Accounting. Fantastic. I've got dozens and dozens more tweets. Some of them relating to the kind of things you're saying, but people have found that very useful and helpful. So thank you for that, guys. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. Jules.
Had a tweet here from a newbie listener. It's Callum Knowles.
Oh, yeah, Callum. Yeah, I know
Callum. He's probably not new to you, but he's new to me. He says, hi there. Can you give us give a shout out, please, to Rose Honick, H-O-N-I-C-K, on the Twitter. She has a Kickstarter project that needs funding, please. And then if you click on Rose, she is a textile designer, founder of Rose Honick in Kent, and that's rosehonick.com, H-O-N-I-C-K. So she's looking for some Kickstarter help there. And it looks lovely, her stuff. So well
thank
done.
You for that, Callum. Thank you for the introduction to Rose, and good luck with your Kickstarter project, Raising Finance.
Yeah, what does Callum do?
Callum...
He's an all-round techie dog-learning guy, dog-loving guy.
He is indeed.
And he's a town councillor for Tenterden North Ward.
He is indeed, and he's also a business consultant, and he does a lot of work supporting and helping businesses, not just in Tenterden, but he does a lot of work locally in Tenterden with small businesses. And in fact, I happen to know that Callum actually helped start David Bowman, if you remember, from Intelligent Marketing, who was on the guy with the bicycle advertising. Callum was very instrumental in helping him get off
the
ground.
I am on the Twitter,
IMA, yeah. Diane Dupree has tweeted as well, and she was saying on the IP issue, you need to get in early with IP.
Yes.
That's intellectual property. Yeah, in fact, you do.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Cool. Letters of credit demystified, while we're on to such things. On Thursday, the 29th of January, the Kent Invector Chamber at Ashford have a meeting between 8:30 and 12:30, and it says join us for an in-depth workshop on letters of credit and letters of credit demystified. I can't think of a better way of spending breakfast. It will address a wide range of issues that can occur with documentary letters of credit. The main outcomes for the exporter or importer will be understanding where to go for assistance when required, getting letters of credit open correctly in the first place, achieving compliant documents on first presentation, and understanding what risks are covered by each letter of credit. If you're a member of the Kent Invictor Chamber, it is a measly £75 plus VAT to attend this workshop. If you're a non-member, it's a slightly less measly £90 plus VAT to attend a workshop, and that's on Thursday the 29th. If you want to find out about it, go to kentinvictorchamber.co.uk/events, and you can find out about that and all their other events that are happening with the Kent Invictor Chamber, so do check that out. There's a Women Working Wonders event. That's not easy to say, is it? Women Working Wonders event taking place on the 3rd of February, and it's at East Kent College, and it's in association with Red Rocket Associates. I'm sure they've written this just to get me to trip over this. East Kent College with Red Rocket Associates are excited to present Women Working Wonders on Tuesday the 3rd of February at 5:30 p.m. The event will take place at the Professional Learning Centre at East Kent College on the second floor of Innovation House, and that's at Discovery Park in Sandwich. Join us and other like-minded women for a free taster session introducing and exploring the 7 principles of influence and impact in work and life. And those principles are effective communication, you and your skills, leadership skills, personal branding, work-life balance, collaborative working, building positive relationships. The evening will consist of networking where you can meet new people, build your confidence, expand your knowledge and your leadership skills. There will be tea, coffee and canapes, and they will be available on arrival. And for more information, head over to the Red Rocket Associates website, which is www.redrocketassociates.com. And they say, we'll see you there. So thank you for that.
19th of March is the Digital in Kent Conference. It's 9 a.m. to 5 o'clock at the Mercure Maidstone Hotel. And they're saying that Google is speaking at the next Digital in Kent Conference. And there's a stunning lineup of 7 keynote speakers who are at the leading innovative edge of the digital and social media world. This is Thursday the 19th of March, as I said, at the Mercure Maidstone, which is Junction 8 M20. and you can see speakers that are confirmed so far. They've got Google's Thomas Power, Bob Barker, Warren Knight, Matt Phelan, Alistair Frost and Luke Quilter. And you can get more details on the Kent Business Radio website, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk. The new revamped, rifty sort of influenced website.
Is that right?
Yes.
Cool. I'm quite pleased with our new website.
It looks lovely.
Yeah, what we're going to do is, because the show's now 2 hours, I'm going to break the Listen Again files into 2 one-hour files. But we've also made it highly searchable so that in the old days, when you went into the old shows, it's now renamed Past Shows. When you went into Past Shows, it just had the show number, which didn't really tell you a lot.
Yeah.
Now, having sat up till midnight last night reloading all the old ones, it's got everyone's name on it. I haven't quite managed to do all
That's
6 years yet.
Forever.
I haven't done all 6 years yet. I've only gone back the last 2 years so far, but I am working my way through
the
back catalogue.
There's no sort of technology that will do that, is
there? Yeah. So we'll get there. Just to follow up, Diane Dupree, who was mentioning IP earlier.
Yeah,
I should have looked a bit harder because it becomes a bit obvious now because her Twitter handle is Invicta IP. So she's obviously an IP specialist. That, you know, we haven't got time to talk about that, but that's something we could talk about in a future show because intellectual property is a big issue and it's something that we will address in a future show and we'll cover that in more detail.
And she's right, do it right at the beginning before you spend money on all your branding and everything else, get it right.
Yeah, absolutely. That whole field of trademarks, copywriting, intellectual property is an interesting field with a lot of stuff in it. And
we did a programme on Scoff and Quaff, if you remember, with Andy Bridle, IP, in Canterbury. It was really, really interesting. Mm. There's the Kent Healthy Business Awards. There's a free business breakfast. Work towards a healthier business, they say. Mm. This is 7:30 a.m. till 10 at the Conningston Hotel in Sittingbourne, Tuesday the 10th of Feb. And the Mercure Hotel in Pembury, Thursday the 26th of Feb. You need to go onto www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk for that.
Cool. Sorry, we've got dozens and dozens of tweets about all kinds of things here, and I'm going to rush through a few of them. We can ignore this one completely. Bleam Village Londis, we love dual circuit. Oh, go away. Jackie Brooker, something you read earlier, Jackie responded to that about broadband, rural broadband.
Yeah.
Jackie says, we recommend VFast_net on the Twitter, VFast. Broadband people of Kent, if you can get it, excellent compared to BT. I happen to know VFast, it's a WiMAX system, which is a lot better than most rural broadband, but it's not available in every area of Kent. But do go to their website, VFast, and see if it's available in your area. Dakota Blue Consulting, loving the show today, great to learn about things, lovely to hear from Lawyer Fair and the folks at Rift Accounting. So thank you, Dakota Blue. They are HR consultants over there in Ashford.
Big hello to Dungeness Fish Hut, that's a new listener, they're listening in. Hello to you.
Dungeness Fish Hut.
Yeah.
I wonder what they do.
That must be quite near us.
Yeah.
Something fishy they're up to, I reckon.
What do you reckon?
I do. You read Rupert Colonies, didn't you?
Saying I did.
Thank you for clarifying from lovely Chris.
Yeah.
There is someone looking for a partner investors here. Bernard at playthegame.biz, 3ws.playthegame.biz. And he says, playthegame.biz is a newly established business formed for the express purpose of exploiting the exclusive license it holds to develop events, tournaments and leagues for Convoy, the card strategy game. So if you want to find out more, he's looking for partners or investors, and go on to the website www.playthegame.biz.
Cool. I've got some more tax advice here. Blimey.
Have you?
Yeah. Use of home tax deductions to be extended. The use of home deductions, which are available to sole traders who use their home for business purposes, will be extended to business partnerships under amendments to tax legislation in the Finance Bill 2015. The deductions allow business expenses incurred when using a home for business purposes to be offset against taxable income in the year 2015-2016. I'm going to become an accountant.
I'm not. You look very comfortable in your...
Well, I'm reading it, that's why. Yeah, I don't understand a word of it. I'm just reading it out. The amendment has been welcomed by the Association of Tax Technicians, the ATT, as having the potential to make tax easier, quicker and simpler for taxpayers who run small sole trading firms from home. So that's some, you know, in line with what I was saying, that HMRC actually do some things that are useful sometimes to help people out. And whilst we're talking about such things, the new rates guidance for home-based businesses, the Rateable Valuation Office agency has updated its guidelines to help people running a home-based business understand whether they will be liable to pay council tax or council tax and business rates. Okay, and that depends on the type of business you're running and the kind of property that you're living in. So the Valuations Office has got new guidelines about this. So if you are running a business from home, I suggest you go to the Valuations Office and have a look. Circumstances when only council tax is applicable would include where only a small part of the home is used for business purposes, where the home-based business does not employ anyone else to work from the premises, and where goods are posted to customers rather than collected in person. So that's a small, brief view of what constitutes a home business. But full details are available by going to www.gov.uk/government/publications/council tax and business rates home-based businesses. I will put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. Yeah, but we're fast running out of time. So do have a look at that. Thank you. Do you know what? We're at the end of the show.
We are. And how it flew.
It's flown. I've still got a dozen emails to read. I've still got more than 40 tweets to read
out. We're not doing a 4-hour show.
No, absolutely. But we're at the end of the show. I'd just like to say a massive, massive thank you to all of our guests today. Sarah Poole of Western Hanger Castle, Andrew Weaver of Lawyer Fair, the great folks on RC Expert from Rift Accounting, Jane Ollis, Managing Director of Rift Accounting, and Christopher Gaze, Senior Accountant.
And thank you, Paul and Jules, for having us.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And we look forward to you being back on the show in a few weeks' time. And I think your next show is going to be talking some more about those lovely folks at HMRC and what to do if we get into a little bit of trouble with them with a fine or two. So we'll be discussing that on a future show with them, and we'll post out when that's on. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. Coming up on Channel Radio later today at 3 o'clock, we have Beatles and Beyond with Pete Best. And then at 5 o'clock, we have Craig Avery with the Craig Avery Show, the ladies' favourite. At 7 o'clock, Beer, Birds, Balls and Bands. It's the boys down the pub with Phil and Jonathan. And then at 9 o'clock, 18 tracks of unsigned, new, up-and-coming music as handpicked by